I'm thankful to be in God's house this morning, and a warm welcome to those of you who are watching online via our YouTube stream. We welcome you, and we thank you for participating in our service today. Before we begin, I would like to pray to ask the Lord to speak through this weak vessel and encourage God to be with us. Father in heaven, we thank you for the wonderful words of life. We thank you for your word that brings life eternal and joy even as we walk this earth. Father, we ask that you will be with us. Your Holy Spirit will move upon us this morning. And be with me as I present the words from your throne of grace. Lord, I ask that you remove this vessel from the pitcher completely and that your words will shine forth with clarity and with love. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name, amen. Our message this morning is responding to the witness, and responding to the word, actually, but the word is a witness, isn't it? Responding to the word. Erica read our scripture reading this morning, taken from the book of James, chapter 1. Verses 18 to 22. I'm not going to read that again. But basically, it's talking about the engrafted word. The engrafted word. The word is engrafted within us. God would have the word to be engrafted within us because then we would know the will of God in our lives. Now, Pat and Darlene have already had a pre-message this morning, and the sermon is sort of based on that, but our message today actually follows the pathway set before us in the Discoveries in Revelation seminar that we just participated in. Pastor Chris Holland opened to us the Bible nightly, and as he opened the Bible nightly, what was revealed? God's unchanging character. God's unchanging character, and because of his unchanging character, we can also testify that his word is unchanging as well. Can we say amen to that? And at the conclusion of the meetings, I sat down and I pondered just what transpired, not only at the meetings, but what transpired in my life because of the meetings. And I pondered the many blessings that I received. How many here who participated in the Discoveries in Revelation seminar, how many here received one blessing? Amen. How many received 10 blessings? You can't count them, can you? The blessings are evident. And why? Was it because of Pastor Chris Holland's great oratory skill? Was it because we were together as a group, and opening the Word of God? Well, yes, partly. But it was because God Himself was there. And why was God Himself there? Because the words of life were opened before us. And as Pastor Chris spoke, line upon line, precept upon precept, discussing the topics that God is concerned about, the truths of for this day, but the benefits. Now, as we begin, I'd like to share briefly five of the benefits that came to my mind. Now, like I said, they were numerous, but five that came to my mind were conviction of sin. Even as I sat there or participated, I myself was convicted of my sin and my sinful nature. That's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. Because God is opening to us areas in our lives where we need change. But it's not just conviction of sin. He opens us the way for correction of sin. Correction of sin. Number two, true freedom. True freedom in Christ. Why do we have true freedom? Because the Word is the Word of life. And that life is life eternal. True freedom in Christ. Sin that is released to God. Sin that is released to God. Number three, guidance in the life. What was open before us in the Word? Pastor Chris discussed Exodus chapter 20. What's found in Exodus chapter 20? The Ten Commandments. Not the Ten Suggestions, but the Ten Commandments that are found in His Word. Why are they in His Word? Because the Ten Commandments are a transcript of God's character. God's character. And God does not change. Wasn't that a blessing? Number four, spiritual growth. How many felt within them a desire to draw closer to God as they opened the Word nightly? And number five, because God's Word was opened, and because line upon line and precept upon precept was defended in the Word of God, now we can have trust in the Word of God, because the Word of God is sure. The Word of God is steadfast. The Word of God is trustworthy. Now, I know each one of you came away from these meetings with a greater appreciation for the importance of the Word of God. One cannot truly follow God without the ministry of the Word of God in one's life. Amen? So what is the believer's responsibilities to this precious Word of God? The Bible itself cannot bring blessing to your life if you do not carry it out, your responsibility to the Word of God. And what I mean by that, we mustn't think that because I carry a Bible around, I was going to say in my pocket, but this Bible's not going to fit in this pocket. But, you know, there's pocket Bibles. You can carry a Bible around your pocket, can't you? You can carry a Bible around in your purse. And you can carry that with you every minute, every second of the day, day and night. But will that Bible that's in your pocket transform your life? No. It's just like any other book that way, if it's not opened and studied. Let me give you a little statistic here. Do you realize that 93% of all North Americans, now this statistic incorporates Canada and the U.S., 93% of North Americans own a Bible? I was surprised when I read that statistic. 93%. In fact, the average North American home has how many Bibles, would you guess? One? Close. Four Bibles. Now, some probably have six or seven. Four Bibles in their house. But it's what you do with your Bible that really counts, isn't it? So what is the believer's responsibility? Now we're getting into the heart of the message today. What is the believer's responsibility to the Bible? Now, I want to share again five responsibilities that we have to the Word of God and in the Word of God, and they all begin with the letter R, the five R's. The first one is something that's lacking today, and that is respect for the Word of God. Now, I'm going to go through a number of Bible texts this morning, and you're not going to have time to turn to them because there's a lot. So I'm going to encourage you to write them down. I know someone here writes them down. I'm looking at right now. But I encourage you to write them down so you can take them home and study them. The first one is Isaiah chapter 66 and verse 2, which says, "For all those things hath mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word." Trembleth at my word. God will especially take note of someone who fears doing anything contrary to His Word. Not fear in the sense of being afraid, but a respectful fear, knowing that you do not want to displease God this way. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 5 says, "And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above the people," not in the sense that he was above the people in stature, but he was just standing above the people. "And when he opened it, all the people stood up." Now, why did they stand up? Why did they stand up when Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people? No doubt they stood in respect to the Word of God. And even in our modern world, shouldn't we give proper respect unto the Word of God? Don't you feel that it's lacking today? For indeed, it is the Word of God, and it's not man. God Himself has high regard for His Word. It seems sort of elementary to say that, but it's true. He has high regard for His Word, because His Word is His character. Psalm 138, verse 2 says, I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. And here it is, for thou meaning God, for thou has magnified thy word, God's word, above all thy name. Amen? This respect for God's word applies in at least two respects. A, respect the public teaching and preaching of God's word. When God's word is being preached, it should be regarded with proper respect, shouldn't it? When God speaks up, it's time to sit up and listen up. That's not a command from me. That's just simply saying when the word of God is preached, no matter who it is, we need to have a discipline to sort of sit up and pay attention and listen to what the word of God says. Now, I myself have been guilty of this. I come to church, and who here does not have a busy week? Who here does not have a busy week? Everyone's busy, aren't they? Everyone is busy in one form or another. It could be busy with children. It could be busy with work. It could be busy with just everyday life. You could have a sickness. You know, there's a lot of things that will get you busy. And some of them are important. Probably all of them are important. But as we come into the house of God, I remember there was a few times, I won't say how many, there was a few times I came to church, and the first thing I noticed, what I was doing when I was sitting in one of the chairs, I was felt myself drifting off. Just being honest. Felt myself drifting off, and I caught myself, and I asked God to, Lord, wake me up, because I'm not being attentive here. And when you ask that prayer, He'll guide you, and He'll open to your heart what you need to hear for that day. No doubt about that. But, you know, it's also not a time, and I'm not finding fault here, because I'm saying this because I actually do it. I actually did it. It's not a time for checking your phones for Facebook messages or emails. It's basically not a time to talk, slouch, or sleep. The preaching of God's Word is to be given a profound respect, isn't it? Especially by the people of God. Amen? Amen. Now, as parents, we share with our children the importance of Bible and the preaching of the Word. This is one of the reasons we come to church. Now, why do we bring our children to church? Okay, Amy, I'm going to put you on the spot. Why, Amy, do you bring your children to church? Yes, because she wants them, or Mitch and Amy want their children to know about God. But why do you want them to know about God? Amen. God loves them. God loves them. He wants them to make decisions for Him. He wants them to, down the road, make that decision to follow Jesus. It's all very important. And that's one of the reasons why we bring our children to come to church and to hear the Word of God. Now, there's ways that we can direct our children to hear the Word of God when it's being preached. And I'll get into that in a little later. Now, what about the Bible itself? What about the Bible itself? Here I have in my hand a big Bible. This was given to me a number of years ago. It's a study Bible. And, you know, should this book itself be respected? Now, I ask that question because I understand today's modern world that we have Bibles in here as well, right? We can have all kinds of Bibles in here. We can have hundreds of Bibles, dictionaries, whatever. We can have everything here that we need. So I'm not saying just because of this book, but I'm saying the Word itself, the Word in general. It should be treated with respect, the Bible. Because why? What's in the Bible? God's Word. And we've heard the phrase before, God's love letter to His people. There was a time, you know, when you did not place, say for example, I had my Bible here, and this was some other book I had at home. It was another time you would never do this. Right? You would never do that. Why wouldn't you do that? Because the Bible is precious, isn't it? Even though it's a bunch of words written on a bunch of paper, it's still and ultimately the Word of God. And so the reason why I bring that up is because if we have respect for the Word of God, we will have respect for God. Amen? You know, there are even college and even seminary professors who ridicule the Word of God. Did you know that? They actually ridicule the Word of God. Others deny the divine inspiration of the Word of God. Now, if you attended a memorial service or a Remembrance Day service lately, I think we had one a little while ago, right? November the 11th, is that correct? November the 11th. And you attended one of those memorial services, and there was a veteran who was in one of the wars. And he was sitting there in the front chair, and this service was going on. And he was, as the service was going on, what do you think he was thinking? He was thinking about what he went through in this war and the sacrifice that all of his buddies, all of his friends made, the ultimate sacrifice. Now, what would happen, do you think, if someone went up to that veteran and pushed him off his chair or spit on him? What do you think would happen? Do you think there would be an uproar? Do you think that most of the people there would come to his defense? Absolutely. And so they should, shouldn't they? That would be appalling. It really would. But God is being disrespected in our day too. He really is. All you got to look at is the news, look at the general society, and look how they approach God. And He's being disrespected. And there are times when God asks us to stand up and speak up. He wants us to. That God doesn't need defending, does He? Does He? God doesn't need defending. But are God's people like turtles or ostriches? When something comes their way, they stick their head in the sand? No, that's not the way Christians are. We stand forth for the truth. We think of the pioneers. We think of the martyrs, what they went through. They stood firm to the truth, and they stood up, and they were counted. Amen? Now, back to parents again. Everyone here, I would assume, is a parent. Children, Selena, Jenna, where's Erica? Erica, I'm going to ask you a question. When mommy and daddy want you to listen, what should you do? That's true. But parents would want their children to listen, right? Why? Because usually parents have some wisdom to give, don't they? Life experience. And they would not want their children to go down a pathway that perhaps they went down at some point in their life. They would like to protect them from that. We can't protect them from everything, we know that. But we would have their best interests at heart. Now, when we go to church, we need to go to a church that preaches the Word of God. Amen? Pastor Chris, I'll bring his name up repeatedly because we just went through a series of meetings with Pastor Chris. But he always said, you know, Find a church that teaches the Word of God. What else did he say? I know he said one other thing that stuck in my mind. I've heard it before, but it did stick in my mind. Do not take my word for it. Didn't he say that? Do not take my word for it. Why? Because Pastor Chris is a human being, is he not? He can fall, he can sin, he could tell you error, he could, not saying he did, but he could. He said, go home, search it out for yourself to see if these things are true. When I was younger, I attended a church, and I relayed this to Pat and Darlene earlier. When I was younger, I attended a church that did not preach and teach the entire Word of God. And when I was younger, that seemed to be okay. But as I got older, I started asking questions. I was saying, how come my church never opens the Word of God? I see a Bible around, but I never see it being opened. How come? And then I started asking a lot more questions. And then, of course, what happened? What happens when you start asking hard questions like that? What really happens? God answers those questions. And he's saying, Steve, open my word. Study my word. And you will find the answers you're seeking. And that's exactly what happened. Jeremiah 22:29 says, O earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord. 8 times in the Gospels and 10 times in the book of Revelation, we find the words, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Let him hear. In other words, make a sincere effort, a decided decision to actually hear the word of God. If you do not, then the Bible can't do much good in your life. Correct? And when you come to church, also make a sincere effort, a decided decision to listen to what is taught and preached. Now listen to the words of Jesus here in Mark chapter 4 and verse 20. And these are they which are sown on good ground. We've heard this text before. Such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. As many of you here already know, our church streams Bible teaching lessons, messages, sermons, and seminars locally and from around the world on an internet streaming radio station called Living Word Radio, which is broadcast right here from our church. Now, the messages on there are from messages that you're hearing here. They're also from presenters from around the world. And for those of watching online right now, if you would like to be edified in the Word of God and hear the same messages that you're watching right now, just go to livingwordradio.ca and you will be able to hear the same messages that's being proclaimed here. It's a blessing, isn't it? It's an opportunity to share the Word of God to those who are willing to listen, amen, and to receive. Now, what about privately? What about privately the Word of God? If we're going to benefit from the Word of God, we also need to read it in our homes, privately, on our own. Acts chapter 17 and verse 11 says, These were more noble than those in Thessalonica. Now, who were these? These were more noble than those in Thessalonica. They were the what? The Bereans, right? In that they received the Word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. So the Bereans were actually... They actually listened to Pastor Chris Holland's suggestion to don't take my word for it, don't take Paul's word for it, don't take anyone's word for it, but go home and open the word, or the scrolls as it were in those days, go home and study to show thyself approved, to see if what this man or this woman is telling you, if it is truth. Because wide is the road that leads to what? Destruction. And narrow is the gate that leads to eternal life. Amen. These Bereans heard Paul expound the scriptures in the synagogues. Then they did their own reading, they did their own study, and to verify what they were being taught. Don't take my word for it, but go home and study for yourself. Do you remember the story of Mary and Martha? I think Pastor Jason just relayed that story recently. The story of Mary and Martha, where Jesus came to their home and there was a bit of a crowd there. And what happened? Well, Jesus was talking. I guess he was sort of preaching or he was sharing. And what was Martha doing? Martha was busy, wasn't she? She was busy attending to the needs of her guests. And that in and of itself is a noble endeavor, is it not? Because is it not one of the gifts of hospitality? It is a gift, and not everyone has it. Some people have it in abundance, but it is a blessing. And Martha was weighed down because her sister was doing what? What was her sister doing? Sitting at the feet of Jesus. While all this was going on, Mary was, it seemed, sort of oblivious to what was going on. Martha had all the cares of this world. She wanted to make sure that Jesus was comfortable. She wanted to make sure that everyone there had their needs met in regards to comfort and food and drink. And yet, she had a problem. But she had a problem. And she objected. She objected. Did she object to Mary? Did she go to Mary and say, Mary, why are you doing this? Well, who'd she go to? She went straight to the source, didn't she? Jesus, how could you let this happen? You, of all people, how could you let this happen? What was Jesus' response? Well, Jesus' response in Luke chapter 10 and verse 42 says, but one thing is needful, Martha, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Jesus placed our priority on the hearing of the word. Not that the other's not important, but the hearing of the word was paramount. And this appeal to hear and read the word is still very much needed today. Here is an interesting statistic from Lifeway Research study. They found that only 45% of those who regularly attend church read the Bible more than once a week. Okay, so this is a study from Lifeway Research. 45% of those who regularly attend church, I'm not talking about someone who shows up every now and then, every single 45%. What do? They read their Bible more than once a week. Over 40% of the people attending read their Bible occasionally, maybe once or twice a month. Almost 1 in 5 churchgoers say they never read the Bible. So 1 in 5 church members never read their Bible at all. They just come to church. It's clear that the lack of Bible reading and Bible study correlates with a weak Christian walk, isn't it? So if you come to church and you never open the Word for yourself, how can you grow? It's not possible, is it? Now again, Pastor Chris encouraged us to find that dedicated time. We talked about this morning as well. It's not easy to do, is it? Pastor Chris encouraged each and every one of us that we should find a dedicated period of time. He said, start with 5 or 10 minutes. Doesn't sound like very much, 5 or 10 minutes. How many here, when he said that, thought, I don't know if I can find five or 10 minutes. You know, really? I actually thought that myself. I said, I don't know if I can find 5 or 10 more minutes, Pastor Chris, because I'm busy. But you know, Pastor Chris also said, submit yourself to God that way, and He will open that door for you. He will open that door for you to find that 5 or 10 minutes. And you know what you'll find? If you dedicate that time to 5 or 10 minutes, then you'll want more. And you'll find time for more time. And then it just sort of snowballs from there. But it takes a concerted effort on our part to do so, doesn't it? I had one person tell me one time, you need to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, and you'll find the time. You know, brothers and sisters, that's just not going to happen. You know, just not going to happen. Just being honest. It won't happen right now in my life, but I can find other times as well. And God will bless whatever time you find, as long as you dedicate it to Him. Not only is Bible reading important, but we will do well to take another step forward, and which is found in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. And again, we already referred to this. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, how can we rightly divide the word of truth? So when we come here today, we hear the message for the day, we perhaps may have taken notes or we may have taken some mental notes, and we go home. How can we expand upon what we have learned? A lot of times, including myself here as well, a lot of times we'll leave the church, and as soon as we drive down the road, someone would ask me, even one of the kids say, what was the sermon about today? I said, weren't you listening? But what I was actually saying was, I don't know if I can tell you exactly what the sermon was about. But it's scary, though, wasn't it, you think about that? You know, because, but we need to be open ears. There was a phrase I heard one time. It said, there are many great speakers. There are many great speakers, but very few listeners. And what I mean by that is, we are easy to say, but we don't. We may listen, but we don't hear. You understand what I'm saying? So, one way of doing that is we leave the sanctuary today, and we heard the message. Okay, so when we go home, what we can do, if it's not today, is the next day. If we can get online, we can get online and actually download the sermon for today and listen to it again. And that way, you can pause it as you're going along, write down some notes, and you can actually take some more time to study the Word of God. Amen? So it's a blessing that way as well. But take notes. And parents, again, last night, Selena was printing something off on the computer. I said, Selena, what are you printing off? She said, just a sermon sheet so I can take notes while you are preaching. And I said, well, amen to that. And so now Selena and Erica and Jenna, they sometimes do take notes. And I'm not saying that to, you know, puff myself up because I'm proud they're doing that. I'm just saying that because that's a good way of doing it, isn't it? Amen. So, you know, if you were to ask, another thing you can do too as parents, as any children, just plug your ears for a second so you don't hear this part. What you can do is you can say on a spur of the moment, but every week, spur of the moment, when you leave the sanctuary and when you're on your way home or when you get home at the dinner table, say, okay, Selena, what was the sermon about today? I'm not sure, but I think it was about this, you know? But after a while, when they get to expect that you're going to ask that question, they'll start listening a little more. Maybe not 100%, but they will. They'll start listening a little bit more. I've tried that. It does seem to work. So try that out and let me know if it works. Now, another way is that our church here, the Bay Robert Seventh-day Adventist Church, offers other things as well besides the Sabbath message, correct? We have Sabbath school study at 9:30 or 10 o'clock. We also have presentations periodically. Right now, we have presentations Wednesday and Saturday night that are actually a continuation of Discoveries and Revelation. So if you missed some of the topics, actually, let me rephrase that. These are additional topics that were not covered in Discoveries and Revelation. If you'd like to hear that, come Wednesday and Saturday night. We also have another study that follows suit from Discoveries and Revelation that happens here for the next 5 weeks downstairs in the fellowship hall. Starting at 9:30, about how to study your Bible. So there's lots of study going on. How many here have participated in, I remember now. How many here have participated in Thunder in the Holy Land study? Amen. So just raise your hands again. So there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 12. Around 11 or 12 people here studied. How'd you find it? You enjoy it? Did you get anything out of it? Was it a blessing? Amen. Especially a blessing leading up to discoveries in Revelation, correct? Because at least you had some foundation, and then you went to these meetings and said, yeah, I think I heard some of that before. But, you know, it's just another way of getting together with brothers and sisters of like mind and study the Word of God, opening it. It's a little different format. It's a video format, but it's still a discussion going on, correct? So that was a blessing. And, you know, there's all kinds of ways to keep the Word of God before you. To keep the Word of God before you. Now, what about remembering the Word? Now, this is a challenge. This is a challenge. Remembering the Word of God. So you've opened the Word of God. Well, let me just read this first. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 13 says, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you. So Moses had relayed commands from God to the Israelites. And God is saying here, remember what Moses is telling you that I told Moses. Now remember that. And Jude chapter 1 and verse 17 says, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we're to remember what the apostles of Jesus said in writing. So where do we find the writings of the apostles of Jesus? In the New Testament, correct? We find that in the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And then, of course, later on we have Paul's writings. They all testify to the Word of God. They all testify that Jesus Christ is the living Word and that Jesus Christ is the author, correct? So, remembering the Word of God can be a challenge. So how do we remember the Word of God? Well, you can do the cold turkey method. I mentioned this morning as well. At one time, I used to smoke. And I smoked up until I was 29. I started when, I hate to say this, but I started when I was 10 years old. 10 years old, I started smoking. And I gave up when I was 30. And you know why I gave up? Because I'd be lying there in the morning waking up and all I could hear was this crackling in your lungs and this congestion going on. You can hardly breathe. So I said to myself, you know something? I can't do this. I just can't do this anymore. So what did I do? I quit cold turkey. Did it work? Actually, it did. It did. It actually worked. But did I have an easy time of it? No. I had to willingly avoid those things that triggered the necessity to smoke. Whether that was drinking coffee, whether that was having a big old feed, whatever it was, or having parties, whatever it was, I had to stop those things in order to eliminate those triggers. I remember one time I had a craving so bad for a cigarette, that I had to actually go get a cold shower. I'm being honest here. I had to get a cold shower to get my mind off of the craving. Now, it works, but you have to be what to it? You have to be committed. You have to be committed. You have to be dedicated to it. And the same thing with the Word of God and memorization. If you want to remember a verse, the best way is a cold turkey method, perhaps, but it's a Bible text that you like, starting off. It's a Bible text that you're familiar with. Everyone here knows what? John chapter. All right, say it off by heart. Of the world. Only begotten Son, whosoever is in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Why is it that everyone remembers that so easily? Because you know why? Because that Bible text is central to the whole theme of God's love and his plan for you. So take some Bible verses that you like, you heard, you say, yeah, I like that one. I'm gonna write that down. Try to memorize it. What's another way of memorizing Scripture? What's that? Practicing, yes. You definitely have to practice. Sing, yes, sing. Scripture songs. I sang one this morning just as an example. What's this one? The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. You heard that song before? That's a Bible text, isn't it? There's all kinds of Bible. Even our hymnal, some of the hymns are based on a Bible text itself. It actually reads word for word. So that's a good way of memorizing Scripture as well. It's just important to have the Word of God in you. Why is it important to God to have the Word of God in you if you don't have your Bible with you? Why is that important? Well, won't God, I got a post on my way, won't God bring to your mind something to share with someone else who needs it just at that time? Amen? He'll bring it to your mind. Even if you're not thinking about it, you got it in there, He'll bring it out just at the golden opportunity that someone needs it, just then and there. Even if it's just for comfort. Someone who's in sorrow. There's a story, a true story, of a small girl named Elizabeth Barrett. She had a terrible accident one day that left her semi-invalid the rest of her life. Now, this was in 1843, yes. Now, she was disfigured, and to the world's terms, they would have considered her ugly. Now, God doesn't look upon the physical features ugly, we know that, but the world looked upon her as ugly. But this one man, I'm going to get his name right, Robert Browning met this young lady, and he fell in love with her right away. Didn't matter what she looked like, and they got married, and they moved to Italy. And that's where they stayed the rest of their life. But her father disowned her, literally disowned her, because he did not approve of her marrying Robert. She wrote a letter to her father and mother every week for years, 10 years. 10 years, and she never once got a response back. Until one day, in the mail, arrived a box. What do you think was in that box? Every single letter that she wrote was in that box. And you know something? They weren't even opened. They weren't even opened. They were returned to her. Can you imagine how she felt? She had tried for 10 years, weekly. And her father and mother didn't acknowledge her. But you know, today those letters are among the most beautiful and classic English literature. Those letters that she penned, I don't know if they were donated or whatever the case may be, but they ended up in someone's hands that recognized the literary value of these letters. How heart-wrenching they were, and her the soul-searching that went on in those letters. And you know, we can only imagine what would have happened if her father and mother had actually opened some of these letters. I believe they would have got a different perspective on their daughter. Don't you think? Amen. And it's the same thing with God's Word. God's Word is His love letter to us. And He wants us to open it. He wants us to read it. Now, I know most of you here are Bible students. So it's like, you know, someone says, like preaching to the choir. But that's not what this means. This is not what this is meant to be. It's just an acknowledgement that let's not lose focus on God's Word. Let's keep it at the forefront. It's just, there's so much to say about this topic that you would never cover it all, right? But you have to ask God to lead this and find out where we need to be. I know for sure one thing for sure. This church that we are sitting in here right now, the Bay Roberts Seventh-day Adventist Church, and all other Seventh-day Adventist churches in the world, each person that comes to church on Sabbath, they are there because of Bible study. They are there because there was a small group of people back in the early 1800s who wanted to know more. They wanted to know what the Word of God said to them. They wanted to, you know, dig deep and find out, is there anything else, God? Is there anything else? And they submitted themselves to God. They prayed earnestly. They prayed without ceasing, and God systematically, point by point, doctrine by doctrine, opened before them the precious truths that each one of us has the benefit of knowing and living today because of this word. And it hasn't changed. This word hasn't changed. It's the same. And it can do the same for us as it did to those pioneers. No different. That's the one good thing that we can say amen to. God does not change. He is the rock of our foundation and our security. No matter what we see around us, we have His Word to guide us, to nurture us, to lead others to Christ, and to be that beacon of light to others because of this precious Word. Well, let me close. Progress in the Christian life is just like a walk. Now, let me illustrate it this way. So you hear the Word of God. You've heard something. All right. So this particular leg represents hearing, and this particular leg represents action. So you hear the Word of God. Now you take action. You hear the Word of God, and now you take action. You hear the Word of God, and now you take action. So all of a sudden, you were down there. Now you're here. See what I mean? It's hard to do with one leg, right? Can't do it with one leg, really. But He's given us the Word so that we can take it in and then take action and share. Amen? All right, so let's remain in the Word. Let's bow our heads, shall we? Father in heaven, we thank You for Your precious words of life. We thank You for Your Word that brings us hope and encouragement and keeps us on the narrow pathway. We thank You, Father, that You have given us this love letter directly from Your throne of grace, that we may be able to open it. Right now we have freedom to do so. Help us to live it. Help us to take it in. Help us to absorb it and graft it into our hearts, Father, that we may in turn share it to a lost and dying world. Thank You, Father, in Jesus' precious name. Amen.